So the Boston Celtics come back, storm back from a huge 17-point deficit, mainly led behind players like Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and Al Horford. What a performance. Steph Curry went hot, blazing hot at the beginning, cooled down near the end. We'll be touching all of this and then pairing it with the second part of the pod, the NBA trivia time. Can't wait. But first, as always, Beyond Samurai. Game one of the NBA Finals, man. We already had a pod recorded that's supposed to go out yesterday. I was driving back from Florida back to North Carolina. So watching this game, we'll keep this short and sweet, man. Wow, what a game. Steph in the first quarter. He was a man on a mission. Came out 6-for-7 from three. And it's all because the Celtics, for some reason, decided to start playing drop coverage in the beginning. It makes no sense to me. After he hit two open, wide open threes where he could have called his mother and asked what was for dinner, Ime Udoka called a timeout, huge timeout, and kind of just riled the troops back together and rounded everybody back up and said, "Why are we giving the best shooter of all time 4 seconds to think about this shot? Let's cut that out." So they did. Boston cut out those Steph threes, and in turn, they stayed in the game in the first quarter, even with the Steph barrage. Really impressive seeing that Steph's hitting these shots, the crowd is into it, and what does Boston do? They come down the court, and they themselves come, cultivate a great shot, they hit it, and kind of quiet the San Francisco crowd down. It was very impressive to see how in their first finals appearances, we saw a discrepancy, 123 games played in the finals for the Warriors, only to zero by the Celtics. Really, really impressive to see their resiliency and how they stuck in that game in the first quarter. But as we move to the third quarter, because the second quarter was another great one, the third quarter is notorious for the Warriors to always kill their opponents. I saw a tweet saying that there should be a sports science episode about how the Warriors can absolutely just pummel their opponents in the third quarter. And this reminds me of the squad ride bet that Cam and I had that we lost because we thought, you know what, Dubs, Game 5, Mavericks series, closeout game, we're going to take Dubs -2 in the third, thinking they might have come out and definitely solidify this game in the third quarter. But what happened? The opposite happened. Dallas was down 20, down 15 going into the third. So they came out with the first punch, and they came out with the sucker punch, and they kind of rode that game. But man, talk about Jaylen Brown. When a game where Jason Tatum isn't there for you offensively, his playmaking was still stellar, still drawing doubles, still seeing the floor, not making shots. So who did? I love that the announcer said this. They said they run these plays for JT. But as insurance, what the Boston Celtics have that not many other teams do have is if JT isn't on, you have another guy in JB you can run the same sets for, the same P&Rs, the same screen and rolls, the same pin downs, the same sets as JT. And he can still hit those tough shots. I know people will always egg on JB's dribbling. He's sloppy at times, loses the ball, doesn't know what he's doing sometimes, but man, the shot making down the third quarter, down the stretch, to keep them within arm's reach of that game. Never let it get to 17. Well, it got to 17 at one point, but never let it get to 20. Never let them see a lead so high where the team just knew that they were defeated, man. And then going into the fourth quarter, wow, what a fourth. Because I'm watching this, and I'm saying, wow, well, Steph's on the bench, though. When is Steph coming back in? And when he was out, Big Al, Derek White, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, they could not miss from three. We're talking about Derek White, who in series prior, they were daring him to take these threes. And what are we seeing now? We're seeing Jordan Poole biting and closing out as hard as he can after Derek White already hit two threes in the fourth quarter. This is why the role players matter. And this is why I'm saying it's not always about buying teams. It's about building teams. Getting those centerpieces is important, But filling out your rosters with great players and great role players who know their roles and who can show up big late for a good contract price is exactly what this team wants, man. So proud of this Celtics squad. I don't have a leg in this race. I don't root for the Warriors or I root for the Celtics. I root for good games, and my goodness, did we get a good game? But keep going on the fourth quarter, man. The Dubs, they put Iggy out there. Iggy hasn't played in, I don't think, a series since maybe the first round. And wow, what a difference. Because you put two non-shooters on the court. So now what that means is the Celtics are packing the paint, daring Draymond to come in the paint and try to get a floater, try to get a layup. All the short roll actions they were doing kind of got messed up because when Dre rolls to the short, he's waiting on that cut to come from the baseline. And that can't happen as often when you got people packing the paint like Rob, like Grant, like JT, when you're daring Iguodala, when you're daring Draymond Green, when you're daring threes or players like that to shoot the three. And the turning point of the game for me, it wasn't a Derrick White three. It wasn't a Marcus Smart three. It wasn't a Big Al three for that matter. The turning point of the game for me is Draymond Green. When he goes to the free throw line, I think they're down six, maybe four. Draymond goes to the free throw line. He misses the and one shot, so he gets two buckets. He gets two shots at it. And you can kind of sense from the crowd, I keep trying to call it Oracle to not, you can keep trying to sense the hesitancy in the crowd, knowing if Draymond can't make these, we are going to lose this game. And lo and behold, he went one for two. Draymond, I think, had 4 points off of 12 shots, maybe 5 points off 12 shots. At this point, Draymond, we love you, man. You're a great, great glue guy, great passer, great defender, IQ above the roof, through the roof. But man, you are a terrible, and I mean abysmal, finisher around the basket from three. Teams want you to score the game plan so that you are the one with the ball in your hands with 5 seconds left in the shot clock. But with all that being said, wow, coming back from down 17, the Boston Celtics showed that we are not the young pups. We've been through the trials and tribulations. Even though it's our first time here, we are veterans. We came in after a Nets series, after a Bucks series, after seven with the Heat, and we are ready to take on whoever we want. I think the Warriors got a little too giddy in the beginning. They saw these threes falling down, Klay's playing well, everyone's playing well. And then what happens? The Celtics walk them down. Cannot wait for game two. You know, we're going to see the best punch from the Warriors early. Let's see how the Celtics can combat that. Cannot wait. But that was the first part of this pod. Now we'll be jumping into the NBA trivia part where we talked about NBA opening series prices for the NBA Finals, all to try and stress and to kind of reiterate the fact that this series is an amazing one. It is not lopsided in any direction. Vegas agrees with us. So without anything else being said, man, basically, enjoy the second part of this podcast because I love this one, man. Absolutely a great listen. Thanks. Peace. So welcome back to Lock It or Leave It. Great episode we have for you guys today. I'm going to do a little bit of an NBA Finals preview, do a little bit of NBA trivia, and maybe give you guys some live reactions to this Rangers Lightning game. Aaron's watching that as we record this pod right now. But first, as always, I'm your host, Jay, and joining me is my co-host, Cam. Cam, how are you?
Doing great. Got to put my Blackhawks hat on just to remind Aaron that his team hasn't won three championships in 5 years yet. So, you know, I gotta start it off a little feisty. Also got to congratulate our boy John Butler on officially entering his name to the NBA draft. So, look out for that. He had a great combine. I think he finished with 20 something points, 20 something points, shot well from three and finished with six blocks too. So definitely making his way at those draft boards.
Yeah, absolutely. And then going to our next co-host. This guy actually is John Rothstein's boss. He always gets the stuff out before John does. That's Aaron. He probably knew about John before it happened. Aaron, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I can't really speak too much on the John Butler situation. Did I know it? I might have. Was I allowed to say anything? No, but really excited to get this episode in. I missed the last one. I had some stuff going on. So excited to be back, talk about the NBA finals a little bit, who we like, who we don't like. And I just want to let Cam know it's also about a week and a half away from us three-peating. Not 3 in 5 years, 3 in 3 years. So just be on the lookout for that. A lot of slander coming on social media as well.
Yeah, so let's just hop right into this, man. I want to start off by recapping that Game 7, one of the only close games in that series, man. It was lopsided at the first. The Celtics, they came out, I think, at minus 143 moneyline favorites to win Game 7. They're up 17 points at one point. And then we see that Jimmy Buckets, Bam Adebayo, the two centerpieces, held them in the game. Late in the game, they got some three-point shooting help from Max Strus. But I saw a tweet that said, Max Strus is playing his way out of a Sacramento Kings bag, man, which is absolutely sickening to hear of. But with all that being said, they were one shot away from making the NBA Finals. Tyler Herro was out for 3 games. Kyle Lowry, he has some question marks. And I want to say this very quickly, man. If everyone played hoops the way Kyle Lowry did, when the next TV rights came, all the networks would pass because his playing style sucks. I can't stand how he baits the refs, all the theatrics. But with that being said, they were one shot away from making the NBA Finals. So it's not the end of the world to running back. So I'll throw this to you first, Cam. If you're the Heat, do you run this back? Do you say, you know what, let's get Hero healthy, let's get another year with Lowry, or do you try to get those pieces and trade them for a bigger splash in the free agent market?
So I'm very pro going heavy in free agency for sure and trying to fill in those pieces you need. I think step one, and I said this on, I think of the last pod we did, is getting Duncan Robinson's contract off your books. That $90 million a year, or not a year, his $90 million contract, though, is definitely not worth the money with the way they have been able, the Heat have been able to find these shooters like Max Strus, Gabe Vincent for cheaper deals. But I do think that Jimmy Butler does need another star to really, really get over the hump. I mean, I'm impressed it went 7 games. I think it should have been 6 back in Boston, should have finished him off. It should have not gone to 7. I always said Boston was the better team, and I still believe that. But Jimmy Butler, a heck of a player, obviously. I mean, he played great in that series, but I do think you have to try to find another star to pair with him. I mean, you guys might disagree with me, but that's where I stand.
Yeah, and by free agent market, I also mean trade acquisitions, also signing trades, packaging people to try and get a bigger free agent act. Let's hear your take on that.
I think it's going to be tough for the Heat to add anybody. If they want to go the free agent route, they're going to have to make some trades. I mean, look at their salary cap table right now. They're 20-ish million dollars over the cap. So they're going to have to unload some big contracts in addition to just Duncan Robinson. If they want to sign new free agents, they have their mid-level exception, however, for about 10 million. So they could sign a mid-tier free agent, maybe another catch and shoot guy for less than Duncan, but I don't know how many of those there are in the market this year. Maybe a Joe Ingles type. I think his contract's expiring, but he might be asking for a little bigger bag from maybe a not as good team. So we'll see what he wants to do there. See if he chases the money or the wins. And honestly, if I'm the Heat, I run this back. Like you said, Jay, if Butler pulls up with 6 seconds left, if he hits that shot, we're telling a totally different story right now. The Heat are in the finals. They're looking to face up against Golden State. I'm not saying this is the team, but I think this team has the potential to be the team the way it is right now.
I want to ask you both, did you guys see the comments that Tyler Hero said after the game, that Tyler Hero, or not after the game, but recently Tyler Hero has said publicly that he does want to start next year. He doesn't want to come off the bench anymore. He said he's earned that right. And I do think that is fair. I mean, he did have a huge step in growth, obviously, this year, but how does that change the Heat's lineups?
Yeah, I don't think it does really much, that much to the Heat lineup, man. Right now, you've seen that Tyler Hero, they're using him, they're implementing him as that six man bench scorer, come in, kind of get hot quick, be a human microwave for you. But Tyler Hero's right, he deserved it. We saw players like James Harden say the same thing, where he's in that Oklahoma City situation. He's their sixth man, but he plays a lot of starting minutes. And at some point, he just says, you know what, enough of this. It may not be true, but I think I have the talent to be able to go out there and contribute to my team in the starting role. But yeah, that's how I feel about that, man. I think the Heat Celtics series, as kind of lackluster as it was, it definitely heated up at the end. We got a good game seven, so can't complain about that. So let's go on to the next thing that I want to talk about, which is NBA trivia. I was doing a little deep dive getting ready for this podcast, and I found some really really cool things to talk about. I want to start off by saying that the 2018 NBA Finals opening series price, it was higher than I expected. It wasn't minus 900, guys. It was minus 1,075, which means if you bet $1,075 on the Golden State Warriors, you would have won $100. The Cavaliers in 2018 were plus 688 underdogs, which brings me to my question to you. That NBA Finals ranked second in the highest discrepancy in series price opening odds in the 2000s. So, Aaron Ackerman, can you name the number one, number three, and number four other finals matchups that have that big or near to as big of a discrepancy in the finals odds?
The first one I'm going to go with is, you guys know I'm a Magic fan. The Magic Lakers 09 series, it never really felt like a series. I mean, it was a blowout from day one. I'm guessing that's one of the top four. I also think the, what was that, Cavs, what was the first year they made the finals? 07? 07 they played the Spurs. I'd say that's probably up there. And then the Kobe Shaq Lakers, when they played the New Jersey Nets, I want to say that was 02. I think those three, and then as a bonus, maybe one of the LeBron Heat years against, I don't know, those LeBron Heat teams were so good, but they played really good teams as well. Maybe 2012, they were favored by a lot. I think one of those years, second year of the run, maybe.
So I'm so
After that
glad.
embarrass after that embarrassing loss to Dallas,
Oh
come on.
man. So I am so glad that you had those answers because they're nearly all wrong. The Magic in 2008, the Lakers opening series price for that series was Lakers minus 280, Orlando plus 240. That's one of the lower ones we've seen in the 2000s. The Miami Heat ones also had one of the lower variances. We saw that the I don't want to give away Cam's answers, but they have some low variances in
They were
there.
playing at the super teams too.
Can
Cause I
I,
mean
yeah,
that
can I
OKC
guess?
team
Can
was
I guess?
good.
Can
That
I guess
Dallas
my
team was
question
good.
before? Let me
Absolutely.
guess
So
my question before you give this away.
so
Because
let
I
me
had some thoughts about that. Yeah, you go.
so I will give you the highest, the four highest variances in the last two in the 2000s era. And we'll start off with number one, the 2001 NBA Finals. The Lakers started out at minus 2000, while the Philadelphia 76ers were plus
Oh my
1600.
God, I forgot the Sixers were in the. I forgot about
We
that. Should
went
have
up
been an answer. Yeah, yep.
We talked about the 2018 finals with Golden State minus 1075 to plus 688. Number three,
2019.
another constant, the 2002 NBA Finals. The
I got that one.
Lakers
I got 02. I got 02.
started off exactly with the Nets, started off at minus 750. The Nets were plus 550. And four, another constant, the Lakers, 2004 NBA Finals. The Lakers were minus 700 favorites over the Detroit Pistons.
They lost.
Detroit was plus 500, which brings us to the next point and right into Cam's question. We talked about the highest discrepancies in playoff odds. Now let's talk about the lowest discrepancies in playoff odds. Cam, can you name two or three of the closest NBA Finals odds in the 2000s basketball era?
Well, first thing, I've been waiting to say this for a while. That 2018 season should have been a way bigger difference, closer to that Lakers number for sure. That Cavs team had no chance. Golden State was too good. Number one, my first guess, and I've been thinking about this for a while. I'm gonna go. It's I'm not sure which year, so I want you to let me know. But it's one of the Heat teams against the Spurs. That's got to be one of my guesses. I'm gonna guess. I'm gonna go 2014, 2013. I don't know that season. Is that one of them?
So the 2014 NBA Finals, you're correct, actually is tied for the second lowest or closest odds. It's the Spurs at minus 155, Miami at plus 135. That's when Ray Allen hit the shot. And then the next year after it, the Spurs are upset. It's 2014. They want revenge. They came out at minus 155 favorites to Miami being plus 135. That's tied for the second closest odds. Can you name one more out of that group before I tell you the rest of them?
Ooh, I don't know. I didn't know I was going to get put on the spot here with two of them, but I'm going to ride with, can it, is it a, is it a, is it 2010s and up or below 2010s?
Below.
Below 2010. Okay. Huh. What about 08? What about the Celtics year? That's my next guess.
That's what I would have guessed as well.
So the 2008 finals, not the 2010 finals. That one was a little different, but 2008
No, yeah, I was talking
finals.
about the one when the Celtics won their
Yes.
championship, you know, that they
Yes.
ride for
That
as a
they milk,
dynasty.
that they absolutely milk.
Yes.
That one comes in fourth. In that one, the Lakers were minus 180. They were the favorites. The Celtics were plus 160. That's a great guess. You got two out of the four, and let me tell you the other two. The closest odds in the 2000s basketball era was the 2006 NBA Finals with Dirk Nowitzki versus Dwyane Wade. The Dallas Mavericks came in at favorites at minus 150, while the Miami Heat were plus 130. And I do all of this to bring us back around and segue us into the next point, because we're going to talk about how this NBA Finals is all about being built and not bought. Because I told you earlier, the second team that you guessed, the 2014 series, is tied. Golden State this year in 2022 is minus 155, and the Celtics are plus 135, ties for the second lowest finals odds going in for the original series price, man. And there's a brief list of players that have these first team all NBA in the ring at age 26 or younger. This is a very, very brief list. Bill Russell, Kareem, Walt Frazier, Rick Barry, and Dr. J, because we're still counting ABA. Dr. J still has those ABA rings. Bill Walton, Larry Bird, Magic, Duncan, Kobe, Kawhi. Giannis couldn't do it. LeBron couldn't do it. MJ couldn't do it. Jason Tatum has a chance to do it again. That's players before or at 26 who have a first team All NBA selection and an NBA championship. So I'll throw it to Ak real quick and then we'll go to Cam. What does this do to Tatum's legacy if he can secure this first NBA championship at 24 years old?
I think obviously it helps him, but I mean, he's got a long way to go. He's 24, right? He's been in the league like 5, 6 years already, which is crazy. He came in so young. But his overall body work's
What are you
been
talking
awesome
about?
so far.
Jason Tatum's still 19, bro.
Yeah,
Come
you're
on.
right. You're right. Best 19-year-old in the league. But, you know, Tatum's so young. He's got so much ahead of him. I think this is a great starting point, but I'm not going to judge him off this one series yet. I mean, he's still got 6 seasons till he's 30, which is insane. He's barely older than us. So. Like I said, I think it's a great starting point. I think we've got a lot left to see, you know, where his career takes him.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's obvious. I'm really happy with this finals for sure. I either get to see Steph win his fourth, or I get to watch Tatum win his first ring and then permanently rub that in Jay's face for the rest of time because Devin Booker does not have one yet. But yeah, I mean, I think it means more to Tatum than it does to Curry. And I like that if you win this early and this young, you have a lot of chances to win more for sure. And especially with how young Tatum is and how great their core is constructed, you have a lot of great players on not huge contracts for how much they've been paying. Like Danny Ainge, it locked in those players like Rob Williams. And I mean, Marcus Smart doesn't make the money he deserves either. And like you are paying Tatum like a ton. I can't remember what his contract was, but you did give him the max. But I mean, it's amazing to see this finals has a lot of storylines going both ways. I really don't want the Celtics to win also though, because I can't listen to Dylan Floyd for a full year talk about how great Boston is. But other than that, what do you think, Jay?
Yeah, I think, Aaron, I'm going to disagree with you real quick, or not really disagree, but kind of have my own take on the question that I even served myself. And that's that I think what an NBA Finals does this early is it kind of gives you a get out of jail free card. You know, when LeBron got his at 27, MJ got his at 28, Giannis just got his at 26 or 27. What it does is it kind of gives him that Mahomes excuse where Mahomes wins so early on, where when he doesn't win for the next 2 seasons, it's, well, he already has one. You know, Tatum's gonna have that ring if he gets it. This is all on if he gets it. Tatum will have that ring, and like Giannis, last year. Giannis got the ring and they lost to the Celtics. Are you hearing any Giannis slander? No, you're not hearing it because he already climbed and reached the top of that mountaintop. He already reached a peak. He got to that destination before any of his peers were able to do that. I told you, Giannis wasn't able to have a first team All NBA in a ring before 26. LeBron didn't. MJ didn't. So it really shows how much of a head start he can have on the rest of his teams. I want to toss it to the Warriors side though now. Curry, how he has three. We see KD going crazy on Twitter, just not even going crazy, just responding, doing what he does all the time. How do we feel this hurts or helps maybe KD's legacy, Kim, when we actually see the Warriors doing this much? And I know that you may be like, oh my goodness, Jay's coming after you again, but truly, I want to see because KD definitely feels like slighted right now by fans and the media.
No, absolutely. I mean, I knew this question was coming. I wasn't going to be able to escape this podcast without it. But I mean, you are right. You can see he's definitely upset. And I feel like even if you disagree with this, I feel like everybody's kind of like egged off like the KD slander for him joining the Warriors. Like it was a few years ago now, like everybody's just accepted it and they're over with it. But now we're like riling all this up again, and all those feelings are coming back up. And you're seeing like it's you can tell he's upset, and especially if that like he took the chance to leave on his own to try to win on his own. And I mean, he still can, of course, but like it definitely hurts to see him back in the finals. And I mean, I think Kyrie feels the same way with Boston as well. I mean, they're probably sitting together having a pity party for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's really weird because it's not really the fans who are doing it or that sparked the ember, sparked the flame for it. Draymond went on Colin Cowherd's podcast and they were talking, and he said, Kevin Durant's people always hate the snippets. He said before the snippet recorded, Kevin Durant may be the most skilled player of all time. He's 7 feet, can dribble like the best of them, can pull up on anybody. A hand in his face is invisible to him. He's amazing. But with that being said, people game planned for Curry, not for KD. The thing that I think he gets upset about is that he doesn't get the credit. And now that he went somewhere else and he's seeing that they're still doing well without him, definitely rubs him the wrong way. Ak, I'll toss it to you. What's your take on this? Because right now, my feeling on this is KD, it's all coming back up like a nightmare. He heard all the rings. He got the 2 rings. He left. He almost had a game winner against the Nets, but his foot was on the line, his toe was on the line, and people are saying, KD, he's doing it by himself, he's doing it by himself. All for the next season, everyone's right back to square one saying, KD, what happened? He's playing, or he played on rookie mode with the sliders all the way up. That's all we're saying. You still played excellent, but you had the sliders up, you had it on rookie, or you had it on pro. It was not on veteran. Act, what's your take on that?
I think KD is a man who doesn't know what he wants. Like he doesn't know if he wants to be the hero or the villain. It switches up all the time. You just can't have it both ways. And that's what people don't like about him. I mean, he was the loyal guy in OKC. He was bored. He thought, oh, I'll never win any rings here. Flips, becomes the ring chaser guy. Everyone hates him. Works well for a little bit. He goes, boy, he goes, oh, man, people don't like me anymore. Goes the Nets with Kyrie. Now he's back to try and be a loyal guy, trying to stick with the Nets through everything they're going through. And it's just not working out. He's got to figure it out. He's got to lean into being the hero or lean into being the villain, because he can't be both. It's not working well. Personally, I think, hot take here, I think he should go to the crosstown rivals, the New York Knicks. He should lean into being the villain, make the Garden great again. It's never going to happen, but that's what I think he should do.
I just want to, I this is also not going to happen. This is more hypotheticals. Imagine a world where, because if you haven't been paying attention recently, Kyrie and the Nets front office are not getting along on the contract extension that Kyrie wants. Imagine somehow, some way, the Lakers shipped Russ back to the Nets and reunited him with KD. How pitiful and upset KD would be. And then imagine if
he would
Kyrie
retire.
and Braun,
He would retire.
Imagine if Kyrie and Braun went on to win again. And like, I mean, I don't want this, but like, just imagine like how angry the tweets would be from KD for a full, like, the rest of his life. He wouldn't be able to recover.
It might be the darkest day in Twitter history for that man. But with that being said, man, I saw someone tweet, like you said, saying, "Who would say no to this trade?" And it was centered around Russell Westbrook and Kyrie Irving. You know what my response was? Joe Tsai, Sean Marks, Kevin Durant, Nets fans, Nets media, anybody associated or who works in Brooklyn, anyone who works in
Anybody
New Jersey, anybody in the tri-state area would all say
that
no.
anybody that's connected to the internet in the state of New York.
Exactly. That trade is terrible. People always want to say, well, oh, you never know. The money matches up. It works on ESPN Trade Finder. Just because it works on ESPN Trade Finder does not mean that it's good. But we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to end on a three-team snake draft for the finals. I can't wait for this. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Okay, so we're back and we'll end on this little quick pod that we had for today. I really like this one, but we'll go with the NBA Finals three-team snake draft. It's going to work as Cam, Ak, and I all have a pick. It's a three-team snake. Ak's going to go first. I will be the second pick. Cam will be third, which means Cam will have two picks back-to-back, and then Ak will also have the same thing. Just drafting off the rosters, and then we're going to total up to see what team had the most players picked in a five rounds or four rounds, let's say, draft. So, Ak, start us off, man. NBA Finals draft. Who do you take with the first pick overall?
Peyton Pritchard. No, I'm just kidding.
Going with Jason Tatum. Now, I know you guys think I was going to pick Steph Curry, but at this point in his career, Curry's on a downswing. Tatum's on an upswing. I think Tatum has passed Curry on his way up. He's a better defender. He's obviously a worse shooter, but he's about the same finisher, about the same playmaker at this point in his career as well. So going Jason Tatum first overall.
Okay, well, with that pick, I'm going to be going with the obvious second pick. If Tatum's off the board, I'm taking Stephen Curry. The amount of gravitation or gravity that he commands from the defense is absolutely overwhelming, sets all of his other teammates up, makes it that simple. Cam, take it away. You got back-to-back picks.
Yeah, number one, I'm gonna go with Marcus Smart, just because I need to be able to shut Curry down. And if I'm thinking about this the right way, my second pick, I mean, it's obviously the obvious choices between Jaylen Brown and Klay. And I'm gonna go Klay Thompson here. I know that's some people would disagree with that, but he's my favorite 2K player of all time, so that's why I'm going with him.
Okay, so
Jay still has nightmares from Klay Thompson and Tuca.
nightmares is an understatement. When the green bean is in your face after it's highly contested, I just press pause before the shot even goes in, and I'm in my car and out the door in less than 2 minutes back at my house. Yeah, that's something I will not miss from you moving down to Fort Lauderdale, man. But with that being said, my second pick in the second round of the draft, I'm gonna go with Draymond Green. I'm gonna go with the core that matters. So Ak has Tatum right now. Cam has Marcus Smart and Klay Thompson. I have Stephen Curry and Draymond Green. Ak, take it away.
Ooh, tough one from here. So Klay's off the board. Steph's off the board. Dre's off the board.
Smart's off the board.
Smart's off the board. Well, all right. I'm gonna do this like real life then. I'm gonna pair these guys up. I'm gonna pair up the Jays. Give me Jaylen Brown to go with Jason Tatum. Similar type play style. Jaylen Brown, a little bit of a Jason Tatum light even. But I think they complement each other well. They can both catch and shoot. They can both shoot off the dribble. They're playmakers. Great wing defenders as well. So, Jaylen Brown, my other wing.
So halfway through this is exactly why I love doing these types of things. Because once again, what does it scream to us? It screams parity. So far in these two rounds, three players on both teams were selected. If we did this in 2018, what do you think the draft would look like? LeBron James one, Kevin Durant two, Steph
No,
Curry
no, no,
three,
no,
Klay
no, no,
Thompson four. I tried to escape with that one. I know you want KD first.
no. Jay, it's your pick now. Wait, no, Aaron goes back to
That's
back.
my
Yeah.
pick, yeah. For this next pick, Rack my brain here a little bit. You know, I got to go with the big man. Get down low, get some boards, some more defense, like I said. I'm going to go with the Time Lord, Robert Williams. I think he's a very underrated player. He's awesome at what he does. He knows his role perfectly. And we've seen that he complements these two wings greatly. I mean, I know I'm a little cliche here going with three Boston guys in a row, but I think this is just the team I want at this point.
And I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm going Boston again. I'm going with Big Al Horford, man. His first time reaching the NBA Finals, he can space the floor. He shoots the three. We saw in that Giannis series that he gave Giannis everything he could handle. I'm going with Big Al, man. Gives me rim protection, has great playoff energy. He's a vet. He's been there before. I think I'm going with Boston right now, and I'm riding Big Al. Cam, take it away with your back-to-backs.
Damn, I did not think you were gonna pick Big Al, bro. I was eyeing him for sure. First off, I'm gonna go with somebody who also has really impressed me this season as far as the step they have taken on the defensive end. You've got to ride. I mean, he's always a talented athlete, but he took the task of guarding Luka and went and did a pretty as good of a job as you can do against Luka Doncic. So I'm going to take Andrew Wiggins here to pair with my team as well. And with my back-to-back, I'm just going to keep riding with the Warriors train. And Jordan Poole is also joining my team.
Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole, I love that. Now it gets a little more tricky. These are for the people who actually watch the hoops, you know, like, all right, third round, who are we talking? And once again, three rounds in, five players for Golden State, five players for Boston. We're looking really good right now, which means it's my pick, correct? Andrew Wiggins off the board, Jordan Poole off the board, Stephen Curry off the board, Klay Thompson off the board, Draymond Green off the board. They're starting five minus Kevon Looney is picked up already for the Celtics. It's Smart, Tatum, Brown, Horford, Rob. Their five is gone. So now we're kind of into the reserve players. So I got Steph, Dre, and Al. I need to put a two guard around them. Ooh. This is tough. You know what? You know what? Give me Gary Payton the second. Give me Gary Payton the second. And I see Axe's reaction to that one. I was thinking between him, Kuminga, he has the length. He can maybe guard Tatum a little bit. I can't go Derek White. I can't go any of those Boston two guards yet. Grant Williams, not yet. I'm going with GP2, which means, Ak, you have back-to-back picks. Let's hear what you have.
Getting a little tough here. With the power forward spot and a point guards I'm looking for as well. I'm going to go power forward here. Give me the cum bucket. Give me Jonathan Kuminga. Super athletic. Jumps out of the gym. A ton of potential, man. This guy, he was number one high school player in his class for a while when he was up in New Jersey. I know he had some injury issues, kind of fell off a little bit towards the end, but awesome player. Can even shoot the three ball a little bit, which is something new. He didn't really do that in the G League last year, but playing this alongside Steph and Poole and Thompson, the Splash Cousins, I think has really taught him a lot. So I'm going with Jonathan Kuminga.
You have a back-to-back pick.
Oh, I got another. Go with the guard now.
Is this when all hail Lord Peyton Pritchard comes into
play? See,
that's
my thought process, right? Because I was hoping nobody else knew about Gary Payton. Gary Payton II is awesome. I'm a huge fan of his. Guy, if you don't know, he was a great bronze card back in 2K around 16, 17. Great defense to shoot a little bit. My point guard, I think I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to go Peyton Pritchard out of Oregon.
Okay, so this is the last round. What we'll do is I'll pick. Cam, you can have your back-to-backs, and we'll wrap it up there.
I only need one more. I mean,
you only need one more.
I only have four. It wouldn't make sense.
Okay, perfect, perfect. So I'm kind of conflicted because I have Steph, I have GP, I have Dre, and I have Big Al, so I don't need another big. But I feel slighted if I don't shout Kevon Looney some love, if I don't give my guy some love. But even with that being said, I can't because we're building a team here. Give me Otto Porter. Give me Otto Porter with that third or fourth. I can't remember if I think it's fourth round pick. Cam, you can end us off with the last pick in the NBA Finals draft.
Well, I mean, I'm going to take Kevon Looney because 22 rebounds the other night. Shout out to him in that crucial game. Plus, I'm also the only one who does not have a big yet. So I'm going to go with him as my last player, and then I'll complete my five.
Yeah, before we wrap up, I want to shout out Kevon Looney a little bit more. I saw some of his high school highlights. He's doing step back threes. He's doing Dirk fadeaways in the paint. People were comparing him. People were saying he's a shooter coming out of the draft. That's what his scouting report was saying. So shout out to him, and kind of curse anybody who always tries to talk shit about these NBA players saying, oh, Kevon Looney, he can't shoot. He can't make free throws. He's hitting step backs on other people, but he's in the NBA and the highest level of basketball possible. So with that being said, we'll wrap up on this quick question. Cam, 7-game series, who's your NBA Finals winner and in how many games?
Yeah, Warriors in 7, and Steph's going to get his first MVP award.
Short and simple. I love it. Aaron, let's hear it.
Boston Celtics in 6. I just think they're a lot better than the Warriors. I know that's not a popular take, but yeah, Celtics in 6. Not much else to say.
I'm going to go on Cam's pick. I'm going to lobby and second that one. It's going to go Warriors in 7, in my opinion. I just can't see the Boston Celtics, if they win a game 6, getting on a plane, flying all the way from the East Coast to the West Coast to the Bay, and beating the 3-time NBA champion Golden State Warriors, man. Cannot wait for this NBA Finals. Like we said, it's the second closest NBA Finals odds in the 2000s era. We're in for a doozy of a finals. Great players on both sides. Differing styles of play. Two great coaches going head-to-head. Cannot wait for this one, man. But with that being said, let's start these sign-offs. Cam, once again, great podcast. Thank you for hopping on and taking some time to chop it up with us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love doing these. My problem, I just had to yell at Aaron one more time. The issue is other than playing a game 7 in Golden State, the Warriors average 11 points in crunch time, which is by far the most in the NBA. I don't think, and we watched the Celtics struggle to do so against the Heat and against the Bucks as well. So I don't think when it comes down to the last 2 minutes in the tie game that they're going to knock off the defending champs, that me, not the defending champs, but a multi-time champions like that.
I just think the matchups work really well for Boston. I mean, you got Smart, Tatum, Brown, three elite perimeter defenders to lock up Poole, Steph, and Klay. I mean, at that point, if Andrew Wiggins beats me in the finals, so be it. You know, good for him. That's awesome. I can live with that. I can live with that. Same with Draymond. If Draymond's going to take 6 threes a game, go ahead. I can live with that. So I think the matchups work definitely in the Celtics' favor. That's a big part of what I believe.
Yeah, I'm going to throw it right back to you, man. Thank you for hopping on. Your Lightning Rangers game tied at 1 in the second quarter with 17 minutes, the second period with 17 minutes to go, man. So kind of touch on your Lightning right now, and then thank you again for hopping on with us.
Yeah, so Lightning are really hot right now. We just swept the Florida Panthers. You know, there's a lot of Panthers fans on here, FSU people, even people in our little group chat. So love to see that. The Lightning looked great. We're tied with the Rangers. Gave a cheap goal early. Steven Stamkos scored a banger about the midway point in the first period to tie it up. So second period just started. Looks like it's going to be a great finish down to the wire. New York's a really good team, so should be a close series. Should go 6-7 games. We tightly fought the whole way.
Yeah, man. Thanks again. We'll keep posting stuff on our social media. Can't wait to keep interacting with you guys. If you have questions, I got a question from one of my friends back in my hometown who goes to NC State, who wanted to hear our thoughts on one of their players, Sebron, if he's going to return for this season or declare for the NBA draft. So she was interested in wanted to hear what we had to say. So I thank you, Chloe Pennington, for that. Thank you so much. Hope you're doing well. And last thing I will say is, gods don't sit on the couch during the NBA Finals and watch their former teams win a 4th NBA championship. Can't wait for the next episode. Peace. We'll see y'all later.